Parshas Vayishlach, there's an essay.
Get it online?
Yeah, you can get it online. I don't have the original Sefer. I'm dying to get a hold of it. I just don't have time to run around.
Every month, every year, you have
another volume. Do you have any of the volumes? Maybe I can
get them on the internet.
But can you? Is it possible to order it? And I would pay for it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll tell you why. Because what we're getting is just we're getting a little bit of a tamtzit of what he's saying. But I think in the original Sefer, we have much more.
No, I don't think so. He has pretty separate articles, no?
So, for example, Rabbi Gladstein, if you're familiar, Daniel Gladstein, will quote a piece from the Shvilei Pinchas, and he'll tell you what page it's on, and I have no way of finding that page. So that's why I desperately need the original Sefer. Okay, without further ado, maybe we'll just close the door, because I...
You have an English translation.
Yes. I'm interested in the Hebrew.
Help,
Oh, Raz. This has been translated into English.
Okay.
I don't have it with me now. You can get it online.
What do I plug into?
On the internet. Put Shvilei Pinchas. It has in French if you want.
You can get it in Hebrew, French, English,
Spanish,
maybe even in Spanish. Yeah.
Shvilei Pinchas.
Write it down, Roz. Do you want a pen? Here's a pen. Okay, I can give you a pen, but if you have one, you don't need my pen, that's for sure. The pasuk says the following: Vateitze Dina Baslea Ashel Yolda Liyakov Liros Bibnosa Oretz. So one of the most painful parashios in the episodes in the Torah is the episode of Dina, the daughter of Leah, when she goes out to see what's going on, and as a result, the whole tragedy of Hamor ben Shechem and so forth and so on. But Rashi focuses on the phrase Dina Bas Leah. Normally, when we want to mention the genealogy of someone in the Torah, it usually goes by the father. Right, that's called Beis Avos. Here it says the daughter of Leah. So Rashi says that in this case, Dina was behaving in a way that's similar to the behavior of her mother, of Leah. Both of them are called Yatzaniot. They go out. Just like Leah is a Yatzanit, and we'll see exactly the pasuk, so too
just
Dina.
Like Leah was the what?
Yatzanit. I would write it on the blackboard here.
Okay.
If I could only find
it. Write on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I'll write on a piece of paper. Here. Whoops. Yatzanit. Okay, that's the word that you want to know. Okay, that's from the verb yitziah or yotzeit. Now we know that according to the hashkafa of Chazal, a woman is not supposed to expose herself to men. You know, she should be more modest. That's called called kvod v'asmelach pnima, right?
Yes.
And here Leah goes out. Now, where does Leah go out? So that's a chapter that we read last week, Perek Lamed. It says, Vateitze Leah Likroso. And if you remember, Leah buys the rights to have Yaakov for herself on that occasion. And now, we find that her daughter, Dina, follows in the footsteps of her mother, and she too is a Yatzanit, and Dina goes out and she has that terrible episode. Offhand, this medrash that Rashi quotes makes no sense whatsoever. It's what we call a plia atzuma. Plia atzuma means a riddle that we can't figure out. We can't unravel this mystery. Leah, as a result of the fact that she won the rights for Yaakov, was able to have a child. Naphtali was born from that relationship. And that's where she completed her contribution to Shiftei Ka. How many Shvatim came from Leah? Six. Right? Half of the tribes came from her. Right? Let's let it go right now, because again, we're pressed for time, but you get the impression that she did a great thing here. Hashem rewarded her, and as a result, she gave birth to another Shevet. She had already given birth, for example, to Levi, who's going to be the father of Kohuna and Leviah. She gave birth to Yehud, who's the father of Malchus. She gave birth to Yisachar, who's the pillar of Torah. She gave birth to the Zvulun, who's going to support Yisachar when he studies Torah. And now she gets Naphtali, and you're going to tell me that she's a Yatzanit? Yatzanit is a very pejorative term. And you're going to compare that to Dina? That Dina is imitating her mother? Her mother didn't do anything wrong. Her mother, on the contrary, was rewarded for her Vateitze Leah Lekrosa. And furthermore, on the pasuk V'enei Leah Rakos, the eyes of Leah were swollen. Rashi says she thought that she was going to marry Esav, and she cried and she cried. And what led her to the conclusion that she was going to be married to Esav? The answer is because Lavan had two daughters. An older daughter and a younger daughter. Yitzhak had two sons, an older son and a younger son. So she thought the Gedolah Godolah Tanakhan, that she, being the elder daughter, would get married off to Esav. And she prayed and she prayed and she cried, and as a result, she was saved from Esav, and she didn't marry Esav, but she married Yaakov. And when Rashi says on the pasuk Vatik Kadei Rachel Bachosa that she was jealous of Leah, she was jealous of her Maisim Tovim. And all the Maisim Tovim and all the great prayers of Leah led to this moment in which she had another Shevet. And Yatza Misham Yisachar. Now, if this be the case, how can Chazal make some sort of an equation between the Yitzia of Leah and the Yitzia of Dina, implying a pejorative description of Dina, of Leah, excuse me, that just like Dina was at fault for going out there, so too Leah was at fault? It's not true at all. Leah is not at fault. She was Zocha through this Yitzia that Yaakov Avinu went to her, and it was a Siyata Dishmaya. There's a great help from Hashem. I mentioned Naphtali, I'm sorry, I apologize, I made a mistake, it means Yisachar. And the pasuk says, Vayovo Yaakov ben Asada be'er, Vateitze Leah Lekroso, Vatomar, and she says to Yaakov, when she goes out, Eli Tovo, because I hired you. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sio, there was a Siyata Dishmaya, we're now on the top of the middle column here, and Yotza Misham Yisachar. So this is unbelievable. How could we in any way compare Leah and Dina, the Yitzia of Leah to the Yitzia of Dina? Is there an accuse? It can't be that there's an accusation against Leah that she was a Yatzanit. And on the contrary, even in the birth of Dina, we find that Leah was exceptional. I discussed this at the OU with regard to surrogate motherhood. I don't know if you were there. No, that one you weren't there. So I discussed the prayers of Leah. Leah was really meant to give birth to Yosef. She was pregnant with a boy, but she prayed to God because she knew that this would be a tremendous humiliation for her sister Rachel, that her sister Rachel was being X'd out. So instead, Hashem accepted the prayers of Leah. There was a swap, and Dina, who was in the womb of Rachel, went over to the womb of Leah, and Yosef, who was in the womb of Leah, went over to the womb of Rachel. So we see the great tzidkus, the great piety and selflessness of Leah in the very birth of Dina. And now to turn around and say, well, Leah was a yatzanit like Dina in a very negative way, and putting that in a negative light, that doesn't make any sense. Leah's a tzadkanit. So the one who asks this question is the Chassam Sofer. And he quotes a Gemara in Erevin that says that Bizchus, in the merit of Sheyotzo Leah lekras Yaakov, that Leah went out to greet Yaakov, Zochso laholides Yisachar Amuda Torah. And here's the presentation of the Chassam Sofer. This is on the bottom of the middle column going on to the top of the left column, all on page 1. He says that Rashi claims that Leah was the Yatzanit. He says, Chalila v'chalila, heaven forbid to mention those words that are pejorative about the Tzadekes Leah. That's not fair. We have a principle of Tole HaKalkola b'mekulkeles, that if you see someone who's mekulkel, who's sour and defiled, then you attribute it to their parent or whatever it might be, and now you're telling me that Vateitzei Leah means that she's guilty. It was Bizchus Vateitzei Leah that she gave birth to another Shevet, the Shevet Yisachar, who's going to be to the Amuda Torah, the descendants of Yisachar would be those who would teach Torah, who would explain the Torah. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted Yitzias Leah for Kiddush as a sanctified. There's no indication that she wanted to have any sort of pleasure from this world, Chas V'Shalom. That's not what it's all about. She wanted to give birth to another Shevet, and Bizchus HaYitzia, she was granted and bestowed another Shevet. El Al Karchach on the left side, we must conclude that her Yitzia, the Yitzia of Leah, was Kodesh Lashem, was totally sanctified. If that be the case, V'kocha Yitzias Bita Liros B'bnos Ha'aretz Hev Leah V'shutusehem He Nifredo V'nivledo Mehem V'lo Ososo Kemasehem Al Derech Sha'omru Chachameinu Zal B'mesechta Avodizora Sha'ovru The Pesach shall be snus lochuf yetzahar al kabel schar kach yotza liros bibnosa oretz rashi tevayos right bi liros bibnosa oretz says the Chassam Sofer rashi tevos hevel right you take the hay of haoretz the bays of bibnos the lamed of liros and you make the word hevel. So basically, the Chassam Sofer's thesis, based on a Gemara and Avodah Zarah, sometimes when you expose yourself to temptation, and you do it for the right reasons, in order to overcome temptation, that's a Yitzia of Kedusha, that's sanctified. And the Gemara speaks about a great Amoraim who passed by a Beis Zonos, and they were able to overcome any Yitzahara. And the Chassam Sofer says, why wasn't Dina afraid of the Anshei Shechem? Ubi'emes yesh la Hashima bazeh ki parza kora leganov. Kipirush Rashi parshas Piteitze. Oh, we'd have to look up the Rashi. I don't have time to do that now, so I apologize. But in any event, she opened up a little bit of a window of a pirza for Shechem, for the people of Shechem. He bought Chal Kocha Shaloso Zoken Yaakov. You remember that Yaakov was spared and protected, and Avraham Avinu took Sarah into the area of Paro in Mitzrayim or Avimelech, and Hashem protected Sarah. Therefore, Dina believed that because of the zchus of her great outstanding grandfather, meaning Yaakov, certainly Hashem would protect her.
What was she trying to? I don't know what she was trying to do.
She was trying to learn about the cultures and the, you know, the alluring temptations of the people of the world, and she felt that she would be able to overcome any of those temptations, and she would get more reward because she exposed herself and overcame those temptations. So her motivation was L'shem Shamayim, just like we saw in the case of Leah. So when we're comparing Dina to Leah, and they both are considered Yatzanit, it's not in a pejorative sense, but it's for the sake of Kedusha. Leah for the sake of having Yaakov having a relationship with her, and that would bring about another Shevet. And Dina, because she wanted to expose herself to the cultures and the allurements of the world, and some so quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that there were great Amoraim who did such a thing, and they would deliberately expose themselves to that temptation in order to overcome that temptation. Did she make a mistake? Well, she certainly made a mistake. Why did she make a mistake? Because she calculated that just like Hashem had protected Sarah, so too, in the schus of Yaakov, he would protect her from Shechem. Okay. Now, having said this, let's go on and ask the question, why is it that Hashem did not miraculously intervene to save Dina, who was motivated by the right reasons, from Shechem ben Hamor? After all, he had saved Sarah, he had saved Rivka. Why wouldn't he save Dina? So again, if you would have looked at this parasha as negative, that Dina was not doing the right thing, she wanted to, so to speak, rebel, you know, like young people today, they like to rebel, they want to see, you know, what's on the other side of the street. So then Hashem is not going to protect her. But now that we're saying, according to some sofer, all her intentions were pure and sanctified, then why didn't Hashem save her? So the Sifsei Chachamim, if I'm not mistaken, he was a German Jew who lived about 2 centuries ago.
What's his name?
The Sifsei Chachamim. His name is with a B.
Cole?
It's at the tip of my tongue. What? He was a musician.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wrote music, the Sifsei Chachamim. Did you know that? He was a composer. His name was something like Basque. I forgot his name right now. Sorry. Anyway, so the Sifsei Chachamim writes the following. That Yaakov comes from the field. He's riding on his donkey. Bas. Does it tell you that he was a musician?
1680 in Amsterdam.
Ah, so it's already 3 centuries ago. Anyway, he was a musician, but that's not for me right now. And now Yaakov Avinu comes from the Sodah. He wants to enter into the Oel, the tent of Rachel. And the Chamor starts neighing. I think that's the word in English, Noer. Chamor Noer. So that Leah would find out that Yaakov is on the way, because she heard the donkey make this sound. And now Leah has the opportunity to intercept Yaakov, because she had bought the rights to have Yaakov that evening. And therefore, Halach L'shom B'ol Leah, Yaakov changes his path, and he ends up with the old Leah. And as a result of that intimate relationship, Yisachar was born. And that's why the pasuk says at the end of Sefer Bereishis, it says Yisachar Chamor Goram. It means that what caused the birth of Yisachar was the Chamor, because Hashem put a certain knowledge and a certain intellect into the Chamor, that the Chamor would let out this cry, and that's where Leah was able to intercept Yaakov. All this is based on a Gemara in Nida. We're now on the top of page 2. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, my diksiv vayishkav imo b'layla hu melavish HaKadosh Baruch Hu siyeya ba'oso maisa. That God took an active role in setting up this relationship from which Yisachar would be born. Who, says Rashi, he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu siyeya shenota nota chamor shel Yaakov li'ol Leah. So Rashi seems to assume that the chamor on its own moved towards the ol of Leah. We said, according to Sifsei Chachamim, that it was Hashem who intervened and sent the chamor towards Leah. But in any event, how did Leah know that Yaakov was coming from the Sodeh? And the answer is that the chamor veered off the path towards the oil of Leah, and he was nowhere, and he made that noise so that Leah would be aware of it. And if not, then this wouldn't have happened. Okay. Now this idea that Yisachar and that an intimate relationship between Yaakov and Leah happened because of the Chamor Noer reminds us of a Gemara about Chamor Noer, which we'll see in just a minute. First, let's take a look at the Gemara in Erevin, and then we'll go over to the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Erevin tells us, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, on the bottom of the right column, Il mole lo nitna Torah yidu lemeidim tzniyus michatul, gezel minamola, varayos miyona. So there's certain midos that we can learn from specific animals. In the case of a cat, the cat does not publicly defecate, and if it does defecate, it covers over its feces, so that's called a mido of tzniyus. And the namola will never steal one ant from another ant. Dichsiv, as Mishlei says, Tochin b'kayis lachma, ein achas gozeles maichol chaverta, and the Yona is very loyal to its mate and doesn't have any relationship with another mate. So that's the Mida of Zahiris Barayas. So it means that we should learn from the ways of the animals how to serve Hashem, and not necessarily kosher animals. Again, the Yona is a kosher bird, but the cat and the ant are not kosher at all. But the Mishnah says, "Kol ma shebara kodesh baruch lo bara el lechvodo." So everything, even something which is tamei, we're not allowed to eat it. Nevertheless, it's something that's meant to teach us the derech in avodas Hashem. So the Mishnah says in Avos, Yehuda ben Tamar have az kanamer kal kanesha ratz kitzvi gibor kari lasos utzon avicha shebashamayim. It means we learn from many animals. And by the way, out of this list of animals, two of them are kosher, two of them are not kosher, right? We have, there's only one that's kosher, my mistake. Only the tzvi is kosher, but the namer, the nesher, and the ari, all of whom we're imitating, are not kosher animals. Okay. So now let's go to the Gemara in Brachos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shalosh Mishmaros Havi Alayla. Every night, a nighttime, is divided into three sections. And these three sections are three periods of time during the course of the night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars like a lion over the fact that I have, meaning God is saying, I have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. I'll call Mishmaru Mishmar, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shoi kari, shenema Hashem imarom yishag, u'imaon kodsho yiten kolo. Sha'og yishag al novehu. So the Navi, Yirmiyahu Navi, says that God lets out the roar of a lion over novehu. Novehu means his Beis HaMikdash, ma'on kodsho. And the Gemara goes ahead and gives simonim for these three mishmaros. Because again, during each one of these mishmaros, Hashem is letting out a lion's roar on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara offers three simonim for each of these three divisions of the Laila, at least in the three Mishmaros. The Mishmar Rishona Chamar Noer. Remember, we spoke about before that the reason why Yaakov was headed towards the tent of Leah instead of Rachel was because of the Chamar, the Noer, the Chamar, the Ne'ira of the Chamar. And that's the harbinger of the first of the three Mishmaros. The second Mishmar is Klovim Tzoakim. All the dogs are letting out their barks. And Shlishis, Tinok Yonek Mishtei Imo, the mother is going to nurse her baby. And V'isha V'saperis and Baila, during the third Mishmaris, there'll be some intimacy between a husband and his wife. In any event, we see clearly that Chamar Noer is identified with the first of the three Mishmaros. Why is it that the Chamar Noer is chosen as the Simon that announces the first Mishmaris? So we're going to base ourselves on the Rambam in Perek Gimel Mehilchus Talmud Torah. The Rambam says that even though it's a mitzvah to study Torah by day and by night, a person acquires most of his scholarship at night. There's something very special about learning Torah at night. And therefore, if a person wants to be zochet to the crown of Torah, he should be careful with all his nights. He shouldn't waste away a single night. He should make sure that he dedicates learning at night to Talmud Torah. And Kumi Roni Balaila, Posgit Eich, excuse me, is a reference to studying Torah at night. And the Rambam goes on and on to lavish praises on the significance and the special nature of Torah study at night. So Baruch Hashem, we're studying Torah at night, so we have that special quality. Oh. So now, let's understand why God created the Chamar. The Chamar has a built-in nature that it gives out its cry, its noer, during the first Mishmora. And this is to wake up the people of Israel to learn from the Chamar, to carry, like a beast of burden, a burden on their shoulders of Torah. So to be Noer B'Torah. Now the word Noer means to sort of scream out the Torah, you know, to learn Torah with a robust and an energy and an excitement. And this is important not just during the day but at night as well, and therefore the Chamar Noer is his orus, meaning, as we said before, we learn from the animals. What are we meant to learn from the Chamar? The Chamar is Noer in the first Mishmeres, and it means that Torah study is important at night. As we saw, a person, according to the Rambam, learns most of his chachma at night. It's not enough to study Torah by day, we have to study Torah by night as well. Now, before Yaakov dies, he bestows a bracha on Yisachar. And the bracha goes as follows, this is Bereishis Mem Tes. Yisachar chamor garam Roveitz Beit HaMishpatayim Vayamru Chokito Vesaretzki Noema Vayet Shechmo Lizbol Vahilamas Oved. Rashi says that Yisachar Chamar Garam, what's the equation here, the analogy between Yisachar and a donkey? Chamar Baal Atzmus Sovel Ol HaTorah. The Chamar is a very strong animal, and you can place a heavy burden on its back. And that is a message for us to study Torah. And that's why Yisachar, who is the pillar of Torah, is the teacher of Torah, is equated by Yaakov Avinu in the Brachos at the end of Bereishis with a chamar. Vayar menucha kitov. Yisachar is well aware of the fact that sleeping and resting is great. I mean, you know, why not stay under the quilts on a cold day? But yet, no. Yisachar is going to overcome that menucha, and he's going to dedicate himself and activate himself for the sake of Torah. So basically, the symbolism of the chamar as a beast of burden who's carrying on his back a tremendous weight is that a person should be like the chamar in terms of his dedication. The chamar is going to wake us up at the beginning of the night, because the key to success and being crowned with the crown of Torah is learning Torah at night. And that's what the role of the chamar is. So Yaakov Avinu again gives a mashal of Yisachar as the Amud HaTorah, the chamar as the mashal, that just like the chamar is sovel al shichmo masa kovet shalol, so too we should be willing to place our shoulders to the task and carry the weight of Torah and the study of Torah, and especially at night.
In the secular world, it's a bit deprecating. Okay,
maybe we'll get to that a little later. It depends on how much time we have. Okay, so let's turn now to page 3. And he says the following. The Medrash tells us, how did Leah know that Yaakov was on his way? Yaakov was on his way to the Ohel of Rachel, and yet she, Leah, gets the signal that Yaakov is going to be diverted towards her Ohel. And the answer is because the chamar that Yaakov is riding lets out a call of nowhere, and that notifies, and that passes on the message to Leah that Yaakov is on his way, and Leah goes out to greet him. Now let's go to the fast forward to the case of Dinah. Just like Leah went out to greet Yaakov, so too Leah goes out, and now we can begin to understand. Okay, this is based on a secret of the Torah. You know that the Shvilei Pinchas reveals secrets of the Torah. And in this case, the secret of the Torah comes from one of the Bali Kabbalah by the name of Rabbi Shimon Miostropoloi. And this you'll see on the bottom right of page 3. And what we get from Rav Shimshin is the following revelation, that Shechem has within him the nitzotz. Now, I think I've discussed this with you in the past, that a person's neshama includes not just his own personality, his own identity, but the identity of others who will come from him down the line. So in this case, we're talking about a person by the name of Shechem, and Shechem has within his soul a spark of holiness. And when is that spark of holiness finally going to materialize and become a full neshama? Many hundreds of years, thousands of years later, in the personality of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is Tamun. Tamun means he's concealed or inherent in Shechem. And therefore, since Shechem has this potential for Kedusha, he wants to marry Dinah. Okay? So then, when it says Vatidobek Nafsho Bedina in this week's parasha, in other words, at some point in the spiritual makeup of this evil person by the name of Shechem, he had that potential for Kedusha, which is the neshama of Rabbi Akiva, who's going to come later on as a descendant of Shechem. That gave Shechem a certain hisorus, and it uplifted him to a level of spirituality in which he was interested in marrying Dina.
Ostropoli. He's the only one who deduced this?
Yes. As far as I know, no one else came up with this idea that inherent in the neshama of Shechem is Rabbi Akiva himself.
Rabbi Akiva descended from Shechem?
I don't know that he did. I know he descended from Esau. I'm not sure if he descended from Shechem. I'd have to do a little bit more research on that. But he is what's called a Gilgal Neshama. You know, we discussed this. I don't know if you were here last week, I think.
I'm sure it's going to be.
Well, maybe it was two. Whatever it was, we discussed that there's a potential within a Neshama that even if a person is evil, he has a certain potential for Kedusha. That's called a Nitzotz of Kedusha. And that will, what word am I looking for, will pan out, so to speak, or expand many, many generations down the line. But let's see, again, I'm
only asking because they killed all the men of Shem. Shem and all the men there were killed by Shimon and Levi. So I would think no one could descend from them.
Right. I didn't mean to. If I'm sorry, I apologize. If I said that Rabbi Akiva was the descendant of Shechem, what I meant to say is that, you know, that somewhere down the line, the nitzotz of Shechem is going to appear on the surface.
Okay.
And in different neshama, and in this case, it's going to be Rabbi Akiva.
Okay.
And that nitzotz, which had the potential of producing a Rabbi Akiva, was what motivated Shechem to want to marry Dinah.
Okay.
Now, let's talk about the Arachayim HaKadosh. The Arachayim HaKadosh says that as a result of the sin of the Eitz Hadas, many holy neshamos became defiled and contaminated, but nevertheless they still had within them a certain inherent sanctity, which was never ever lost. And therefore he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes it so that sometimes, way later down the line, that neshama, that nitzotz with Kedusha will come to fruition, will exit center stage. And he writes that, again, this is his commentary at the end of Brachos, he says that Adam HaRishon is like a tree, and all the neshamos will be like the fruits that grow the branches of this tree. So from the day of the creation of man, all the future neshamos are somehow inherent in this great tree called Adam HaRishon, but unfortunately Adam HaRishon sinned, he contaminated himself, and therefore all these neshamos were trapped, so to speak, with a polluted material element, contaminated, but the potential for Kedusha was still there. Okay. So now, in the case of Shechem, what was the nitzotz that was hidden within his personality? It was the nitzotz of Rabbi Akiva. And this nitzotz, this potential or spark of sanctity is what motivated Shechem to want to marry Dinah. Because Yaakov is the root of Kedusha, and now this Shechem, since he has that potential for Kedusha, that nitzotz of Rabbi Akiva within him, he wants to link up with Yaakov, and he wants to marry Dinah.
She had a son.
Valyidei shahargu oso Shimon v'Levi. Now Shimon v'Levi kills him. Nishtacher hanitzotz. In other words, now the neshama of Shechem is completely gone from this world. But the kedusha within that neshama, which is the nitzotz of Rebbe Akiva, now, so to speak, becomes freed. In other words, this nitzotz was incarcerated, was trapped within the neshama of Shechem, and now with the death of Shechem, it became free. And we're going to go even a step further. We're going to take a look at the pasuk that says, "Vayomer l'kim el Yaakov, kum ale beis el." Okay, this is in the aftermath of the destruction of Shechem. And if you take a look at the letters that begin each one of these five words of Yaakov kum alei Beisel, if you scramble them, you'll get the word Akiva. And this was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Yaakov, that whatever happened with Dinah and the destruction of Anshei Shechem was all a divine plan to free that nitzotz of Kedusha that would ultimately become Rabbi Akiva, that was trapped in the body of Shechem, in the neshama of Shechem. By killing Shechem, they freed that nitzotz so that now it could surface, again, a long time down the line, in the personality of Rabbi Akiva. So basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to again, the language here is a little difficult. He says, "Hitel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov lachniso ala kedusha." That somehow Yaakov Avinu, again, I don't want to say exactly what he's saying here because I don't understand what he's saying in that one line, because Yaakov Avinu was totally opposed to the destruction of. But in any event, somehow Yaakov, even unaware of his role in this whole picture, ends up through his sons to be the conduit to bring about the freedom of this nitzotz that's going to now flower and flourish in the personality of Rabbi Akiva. And if we look in the Gemara of Pesachim, Tanya, Om Rabbi Akiva, Kshayisi, Am Haaretz, it's very interesting that when Rabbi Akiva wanted to express how much he hated Talmidei Chachamim for the first 40 years of his life when he was in Am Haaretz, he says, I would bite the neck of a Talmid Chacham, so to speak, the way a Chamor would do it. And what he was saying here in a deeper level was that his neshama was hidden, was concealed in that of Shechem ben Chamor. And when Shechem ben Chamor had this klipa of Chamor, which is the Mishmar Rishona that we said Chamor Noer, and Shechem is the son of Chamor, and that means that Rabbi Akiva realizes that there's some great potential here in the Chamor, and even though the Chamor is lashing out in an evil way against the Talmidei Chachamim, nevertheless, the Chamor will ultimately play a different role in which it becomes the paradigm, the symbol, and the cause for waking up the people of Israel to live the life of Torah, wake up, or shall I say, not sleep during the night, at the beginning of the night, and delay going to sleep because of the Chamor Noer, which means that the Chamor Noer is giving us the Esorus for the study of Torah. Now, when Rabbi Akiva is put to death tragically in the Gemara Brachos, and the Romans were doing whatever they did to his flaying his skin, it says in the Gemara that he was Marech B'Echad, Ashi Yotzah Nishmaso B'Echad, Yotzah Basko V'Yom Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, Ashi Yotzah Nishmaso B'Echad. And what we find in the Medrash regarding Shechem ben Chamor, that there are three Lishonos of Ava. It says Vayehov es Hanara, and then another word that's used is Chafetzuki Chafetz Bibas Yaakov, and then the Lashon of Dveikov Atidovek Nafsho. So when we try to analyze the nitzotz of Rabbi Akiva that was hidden in Shechem, and at that time there were three Lishonos in which he wants to marry Dina, there's Ava, Chafetz, and Dveikus, and Rabbi Akiva is going to have all these three dimensions. He's going to do a tikkun, because again, Shechem, instead of using these midos for good, he uses them for evil. But Rabbi Akiva is going to redeem, he's going to rectify that by using them for good. Number one, Rabbi Akiva is going to be the paradigm of Avas HaBore, right? He's going to be willing to give up his life and eager to give up his life for Kedushas Hashem out of a sense of Ava. And that's what it means that Yotzah Nishmas will be Echad. And the Echad means three dimension, three-pronged Ava. So you have the Aleph, the Ches, and the Dalet of Echad. It's Notrikon Ava, Chafetz, and Dveikus, which are the three forms of Ava that the Torah uses to describe the love of Shechem for Dina. Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva sheyotza nishmas chabi echad, meaning that you took the echad that was in potential for Kedusha in the personality of Shechem, and you brought it out, redeemed it for its proper use for the Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if we haven't said enough, then listen to this. According to the Arizal, Rabbi Akiva, who was put to death by the Romans as Haruge Malchus, to be Mechaper for the Chet of Yosef, when the brothers sold Yosef, says the Ari, Rabbi Akiva is a Gilgul of Yisachar. Now again, I don't know how to reconcile this with what we said before, because it sounds like the neshama of Rabbi Akiva was really inherent in Shechem ben Hamor, but now we're saying something a little bit different, that the neshama of Yisachar somehow is reincarnated in the personality of Rabbi Akiva. Now we're turning to page 4 to read what the Zohar says. If I can turn the page, just 1 second, it got stuck on me. It's almost 9:30. So if you want, we can take a break now, and we'll try to finish this up another time. The goal is to compare the Yetziah of Leah and the Yetziah of Bina. Okay, so that's what he wants to achieve on page 4.
Yeah.
If your eye will just sort of scan the top left column on page 4, we're not ready for it yet,
yeah,
you'll see in the bold print on about line 7,
yeah,
he says, Vateitze Leah, Vateitze Dina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to see about the two,
yes,
Yatsanit that I wrote down for you on the page,
yeah,
right?
So, Yasamin.
Yatsanit, that,
oh,
that's
yatsanit,
the word. Yeah,
yatsanit.
Yeah, it's right there. If you don't hear me, at least you see the page.
Yes, sure.
Okay, so we're looking now at the Zohar, and again, this is one of my favorite Zohars because it's quoted in the name of Rabbi Azariah. I like that name a lot. He said, "Sod Hashem liyareov," and he says
this
the following.
So loud, it's quiet. It's okay.
Yeah, you can hear me.
I can
just
hear you.
The whole night I've been screaming because I want to make sure you hear me. Now you tell me I wasted my breath for 2 hours?
No. It's just the pronunciation of a strange word. I couldn't catch it, that's all.
All right, so I can lower my voice. That's great.
Yeah.
So from now on, Roz, don't tell me to raise my voice. I'm going to lower my voice. Okay, great. We got an agreement going. Okay.
Just lower it.
So, Amala Rabbi Akiva Leslas Chus Avos. Okay. In other words, when the Asar Arugei Malchus are being put to death as a punishment for the sale of Yosef, so Rabbi Akiva turns to the Ribono Shel Olam and he says, what about Zchus Avos? And the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim says, Mibnei Yisachar Yodei Bino Le'itim. So it's interesting that when Rabbi Akiva wants to wave the flag of Zchus Avos and plea on behalf of the Asar Arugei Malchus, they should be spared, he mentions Yisachar of all the people of the Oros. He mentions Yisachar, and not only that, the Zohar says Pasach v'yomer v'yovo Yaakov ben Asodu be'erev v'teitzei leil l'krosu v'tomei light avok Yisachar skartich schar hashto skartich lebasar zimna. So what is this Zohar really trying to say? So he says the following in the next paragraph. Rabbi Akiva, when he said Lesleis Chus Avos, he was asking, don't I have Chus Avos? I am a Ben Gerim. I really don't have any direct Yichus. I'm not a genetic descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How then can you use me as a kapara for the sale of Yosef? You know, it makes sense that, you know, if the Shvatim got together and decided to sell Yosef, then their descendants should suffer a punishment and be put to death. But in my case, says Rabbi Akiva, since I'm Ben Gerim, I don't deserve to be punished for the Mechiras Yosef. I was not one of the Shvatim. And Rabbi Azariah in the Zohar gives the following answer, that Rabbi Akiva is really one of the Shvatim. How can you say that Rabbi Akiva is one of the Shvatim? After all, he's a Ben Gerim. The answer is that he's a Gilgul of Yisachar. And he says, why was it that Rabbi Akiva was zochet to study Torah, begin his process of learning Torah at the age of 40, I mean, that's unbelievable that he could start. He could achieve so much at the age of 40, and he was not a great tzaddik. He hated Talmid Chachamim. Why did Hashem do this? And the answer is, says Rabbi Azaria, because the pasuk says, "Mibnei Yisachar Yodei Bino Li'itim." Now the Mishnah says, "It always been our boim lebina." So if Yisachar represents bina, that's the age of 40. What does that have to do with Rabbi Akiva? And the answer is, Tirates Rabbi Azariah, Rabbi Akiva Yigilgul Yisachal Chen Omar. That's why Rabbi Akiva made that declaration. Anashchenu kechamar, I would bite the body of a Talmud Chacham out of hatred like a chamar. Keinyan chamar goram. Ulachen, since Rabbi Akiva is a Gilgul of Yisachar, therefore mi ben arboim shana lomad, because it says bar ben arboim lebina, ubnei Yisachar yodei bina li'itim. So since Yisachar is the paradigm of bina, and at the age of 40, that's when you begin to get bina, ben arboim lebina, therefore it makes absolute sense that Rabbi Akiva, so far as he is a Gilgul of the neshama of Yisachar, that at the age of 40, he will start achieving bina. And the pasuk says le'itim. It doesn't say tamid el le'itim. What does that mean, le'itim at certain times? Ulekach eis lamad v'eis lo lamad. In other words, that the experience of Rabbi Akiva has to be divided into different parts. Part of his life will be lo lamad, that's called eis lo lamad, and then part of his life will be eis lamad. V'chriach hadrush atzmo kulo me'aksuvim v'yovo Yaakov min asodeh. Upirish Hamor Goran Bizar Pashas Vayetzuk, Siv Schar Skartif, Schar Hashtabi, Yisachar Skartif, Zivna Achrina Rabbi Akiva. So it means that Leah is bargaining for an evening with Yaakov in order to achieve the birth of Yisachar. And not only that, she's also achieving at the same time the creation of the Neshama of Rabbi Akiva, who's going to be a Gilgal of Yisachar. And the Arizal says that Yisachar nislavish v'nisaveh Rabbi Akiva atzmo. Yisachar became, so to speak, got resurrected in the body of Rabbi Akiva. Kinoda, as we know that aseres hashvatim kulam nisavru v'yasaru gemalchus, each one of the 10 greats that were murdered were a transmigration of a soul of one of the Shvatim, respectively, and it was all a kapara for the Avon of Bechiris Yosef. And Yisachar Chamor Goram, says the Arizal, Yisachar Nislavesh V'Nisaveh B'Rabbi Akiva, and that, maybe we can close the door a little bit, so that Yisachar is now reincarnated in the body of Rabbi Akiva. This is the same Rabbi Akiva who compared himself to a Chamor, that I would bite the Talmud Chacham like a Chamor, and now at the age of 40, he's going to be like the Chamor, because Yisachar is compared to a Chamor. And we find this also in the interpretation, the commentary of the Gaon Mivilna on the Zohar, and he says the following. He says that Rabbi Akiva lesle schus avos, Rabbi Akiva is asking the following question. I efshar lislabesh beguf rak shehu shorsho. In other words, if the neshama comes down into a different guf, it must be that the shoresh, the root of that neshama, is in the original person whose neshama is now being reincarnated. Vehine gerim yeshlam achiza beavram yitzchak sheyotzvem yishmol v'esav amlo biyakov. Now, Yaakov gave birth to 12 Shvatim that are perfect. So when you have a ger, it's very hard to assume that that ger has the neshama of Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu had a perfect mitoso shlema. So therefore, Mikiva was basically asking this question, how could it possibly be that I am a levush, I'm a new reincarnation of one of the Bnei Yaakov, one of the Shvatim who were guilty of selling Yosef? After all, there's no such thing as a ger from the neshama of Yaakov. Yaakov is completely perfect. So the gerim have to, in a sense, be descended from either Ishmael or Esau. So Rabbi Azariah in the Zohar gives the following answer. Ubimei Yisachar Yodei Bino Le'itim Ritzon Lomar She Yisachar Nisgalgel Rabbi Akiva Shalachain Zohar L'Torah V'Zohar L'Bina She'omer Moshe Rabbeinu La'Kadosh Baruch Hu Yeshcha Odom Kozeva Tanosein Torah Al-Yodi Zeu She'omer Schar Hashto Schar Tich L'Bos Zman Ritzon Rabbi Akshav Yisnotzeitz B'Yisachar V'chein Achar Kach B'Rabbi Akiva. So there's a fascinating connection here between Yisachar, who's the Amud HaTorah, and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is going to organize all of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gemara says at the beginning of Megillah that if you have a Stam Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. That means all of Torah Shebaal Peh is really ultimately related to or attributed to Rabbi Akiva. He's the one who's going to organize the entire Torah Shebaal Peh and pass it on to his Talmidim. And that's because he's the reincarnation of Yisachar, who is the Amud HaTorah, he's the Odea Ito Lebinim, and Bina is reference to Torah. And at the age of 40, that's when Bina happens for Rabbi Akiva. And now we begin to understand that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Torah, Vateitze Dina Basleya, and the Chachamim say that she's a Yatzanit, what they mean to say was that this is an allusion to the fact that although Kvodu Bas Melech Bas Yisrael is to be inside the house, called Kvodu Bas Melech Pnima, David HaMel says in Tillim, but Min HaShamayim, it was set up that Vateitze Dina, that she would leave her bias, leave the inside of her Ohel. This was all organized by HaKadosh Baruch. We're going to soon see that the same thing happens with Yehuda, and that brings about the birth of David HaMel. You remember that Yehuda is going to have a relationship with Tamar, and according to Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up that relationship. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting it up that Leah, who's not a Yatzanit by nature, is going to go out, so that what she's going to do is she's going to be able to give birth to Yisachar, who's the Amud HaTorah, and inside Yisachar is Tmuna, Rabbi Akiva, the soul of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore she goes out. Just 1 second, I didn't catch the last. Okay. So he adds another element to the equation. I'm not sure if we want to get sidetracked with that. Okay. Now let's fast forward to Dina Basleya. Vateitze Dina Basleya. Again, what about Kol Kvodu Bas Melech Pnima? And the answer is that she too is trying to redeem the klipa of Shechem. Again, this is not conscious. This is all going on in God's plan. And there's a klipa in Shechem which has concealed within it the nitzotz, that sanctity of Rabbi Akiva, as we said earlier. And Rabbi Akiva is the Gilgal of Yisachar, the Amud HaTorah. So basically, if we talk about the two yitzios, the yitzio of Leah and the yitzio of Dina, it was all organized min hashamayim in order to bring out the klipa of these two neshamos of Yisachar and Rabbi Akiva. So in the case of Leah, she's going to bring about the birth of Yisachar. And in the case of Dina, she is going to bring out from Shechem that nitzotz of Rabbi Akiva. So we have Yisachar and Rabbi Akiva. Leah is going to bring about Yisachar, and Dina is going to bring about Rabbi Akiva through Shechem, because the nitzos of Kiddush of Shechem is going to express itself in the personality of Rabbi Akiva. And just like Yisachar is the Amud HaTorah, is Yodea Bitim Leitim, so too Rabbi Akiva, who's a Gilgal of Yisachar, is going to organize all of Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating this chain of events that to save the neshama of Yisachar, the Amud HaTorah, and take him out of this love and arami, and to save the neshama of Rabbi Akiva and take him out of the Shechem ben Hamor through two yitzios, the yitzio of Vateitze Dina and Vateitze Leah? And at the face of it, it looks like this is a tam livgam, so to speak. This is something negative, because vateitze is always somewhat pejorative. When Bnei Yisrael is supposed to be exhibiting the behavior of kol kvod basmel prima, and the answer is based on the shach. Okay, this is a very Kabbalistic notion, but very fundamental in Kabbalah.
It's based on what? I didn't catch
a Kabbalistic notion.
Okay.
That Dovid HaMelech comes from Lot, who has a relationship while he's drunk with his two daughters. Mm-hmm. That's not what you call a zivug of Kedusha and Tara. And the reason for this is that when something great has to come about in the world, something Shema has to come down to this world, then the Makatrigim up in Shemayim, the Satan, so to speak, is yelling and screaming, this can't be done. We can't bring down this great Neshama into this world. And the Makatrigim, those prosecutors, they try to do everything they can to block and prevent this Neshama that's so great from coming down into this world and revealing itself in this world. So says the Shach. Again, this is not the same Shach as the Shach on Yerodeh. This is the Sifsei Kohen on Chumash. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to do this, he, so to speak, has to fool, he has to trick the Chitzonim, you know, all these negative evil, for the forces of evil who want to try to block this Neshama from coming down. And they assume, up in Shamayim, these Makatrigim, these evil representatives of the Satan who are trying to block this Neshama, this great Neshama from coming down, they assume that the Neshama will come down through some sort of a normal channel of Kedusha Vatara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tricks the Satan. And what he does is, he sets up something that's antithetical to Bnos Yisrael Kedoshim him. You know, instead of the Bas Yisrael being Pnima inside the Ohel, she goes outside of the Ohel. That's called Vateitze. And what that's going to do is somehow it's going to fool the Chitzonim or the Makatrigim, whatever word you want to use for the Satan up in Shemayim, because he's not expecting that this is going to happen. He's not expecting that Leah is going to go out and grab onto Yaakov, so to speak. That's atypical of a kol kvod basmel prima. So the Makatrig is fooled over. He's caught off guard, so to speak. And as a result, the Neshama of Yisachar is able to come into being, and that's the Avodah Torah. Or, for example, the case of Dina having a relationship with Shechem, and as a result of that relationship, there's going to be a Gilgal Neshama of Rabbi Akiva through this very strange, odd episode of Ateitzei Dina. And all based on the Sifsei Kohen, we see that this is the way God intervenes in history in order to bring about the Yerida, you know, the coming down from on high of these great Neshamas. So therefore, when the Pasuk says, Vateitzei Dina Basleah, and Rashi says, why is she called Basleah? Because Yitziyasa is like the Yitziyah of Leah. What is the equation between these two Yitziyahs? And the answer is that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about the birth of Yisachar through this very strange Yitziyah of Leah, which is different and breaks all the rules of Kedusha and Tara, and in order to now penetrate into the klipa and bring out the klipa of love or whatever it is, and bring out the neshama of Yisachar. And how do you fool the chitzonim? And that is because Leah has to go out in order to pull this off. That's an unusual kind of behavior. It doesn't sound like the typical kedusha v'tara. And the chitzonim, these powers, forces of evil, would never have guessed, would never entertain the possibility that this Yitzi of Leah would bring about the neshama of Yisachar. So too in the case of Dina, bringing about the neshama of Rabbi Akiva, who's a Gilgal Yisachar, that's going to happen as a result of Ateitzei Dina, because Hashem is again setting up a situation which is very atypical. Like we mentioned before, that Dovid HaMelech is going to be born from a relationship between Yehuda and Tamar. I mean, that's not a kosher relationship. But Hashem pushed Yehuda to have this relationship. And that's the way they brought about the Neshama of Dovid HaMelech into this world, to fool the Chitzonim, who tried to block it. And in the last paragraph, which we're going to call it for an evening, he says, Ki Nei Barer, Ki Kol HaDvarim HaLolu Heim L'malo Mi HaSagosenu. He says, don't think that we can understand this all on a rational basis and see how this operates. But this is just Meitzitz min acharakim, like Shlomo Melech says in Shir Hashirim, you know, we can somehow peek through the slots, you know, to see a little bit of Darkei Hashem, to get an idea of how Hashem wants to bring about all these great things. Okay then? So,
let me ask you something. You're a learned person. So, did you ever know this before Shmuel Pinchas brought it to your attention? I mean, is this a Devar Yadua?
No, these are sources that I have no access to. I don't have access to the...
What is that, the Shmuel Pinchas?
Shmuel Pinchas, by Rav Shlomo Friedman, is an annual essay with insights into the parsha.
Okay.
This particular essay comes from Tovshin Ayin Vav, you'll see on the bottom. So it's about 3 years old.
Okay.
The new one for this year has not yet come out.
Okay.
But he has since about Tovshin Ayin Aleph, or Ayin Beis. So he has all told on each parsha, I would say, about 7 essays, maybe 8 essays. Now, some of his essays are way, way beyond my comprehension. They're purely Kabbalistic. This one, again, it's on the borderline, but
pretty Kabbalistic. Right?
But you again,
say Shlomo Friedman, it says Pinchas Friedman.
But Pinchas Friedman, yes. Yeah, if I said Shlomo, I'm, you know, I'm going on. This is my 7th Shia today, and I'm up since 4.
I didn't know it.
So if I said Shlomo, you won't fault me for that, will you? I hope.
No.
I meant to say Pinchas Friedman. I'm so sorry.
I never knew
I've
this.
Mentioned his name in my Shia room, Rav Pinchas Friedman, dozens of times.
Oh yeah, it's not the point. The point is, if I didn't take bus 74, I would never know this, and I'm beyond 40, like Rabbi Akiva was. So not that I know very much, but this exposed me to a world.
So that's what I'm telling you, that the reason why I enjoy the Shlilei Pinchas is because, as you put it so beautifully, he's exposing us to a whole other world. Sometimes I can't even enter into the world. His world is
like
way beyond. Now, one of the people who's become extremely popular, and I'm sure tons of people that you know are following this person like he's the guru, his name is Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. You may not have heard his name, but trust me, he is the guru. He has a shul in the 5 towns.
The guru of Kabbalah?
Of the new generation of young people, and some of them are older people, who are following every word that comes out of his mouth. His name is Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. Okay.
What's his background? He's
a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva in Queens, New York.
Uh-huh.
He has now his own shul that used to be in Queens. Now it's in the 5 towns. And when on his last visit to Eretz Yisrael, he gave us a shir. It was the first time I ever met him. And after the shir, I met with him privately. And I asked him if he would point me towards various sources, because he has tons of shirim on a site. I'm talking about video shirim called Torah Anytime. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of it?
Now
you heard of it. So if you ever want to go online to hear some of the greats in the Torah world today that are videotaped, go on to a site that's called Torah Anytime. He's got hundreds of shirim on Torah Anytime.
How old is he?
He's about 35, maybe 40, a very young man, totally black beard.
Okay.
A very exciting lecturer. And when I met with him and I asked him, you know, where would I go if I had limited time to put it together, he said, go to the Shmuley Pinchas.
Okay.
And again, this is, so Gladstein is the guru.
So he's into Kabbalah then?
He's into Kabbalah, but again, not in the way that you and I would think about Kabbalah. There are people who study Kabbalah as a discipline.
I mean,
it's more complicated than getting a PhD in physics.
If he's not 40 yet, then he shouldn't even be studying it. Right?
That's what I'm telling you. You know, I.
And his first name again is
Daniel Gladstein. Wonderful, wonderful person.
Is he a Baal Tshuva?
No, he's a
full Masorah.
His father went to YU, and he went to Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva. I don't think he has any super duper allegiance to the Chofetz. I mean, he likes the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, but he's not. He's not out
so
there
to. He's a Masoretic Jew.
Masoretic Jew. Yeah. He's got a tremendous following. You can't believe he's one of the upcoming stars at such a young age. And because we live in a world of technological communications, you could say a shir in Queens, New York, or in the Five Towns, and there are people all over the world who are listening to your shir because it's online in Torah Anytime, and every shir is accompanied by Mar Makomos. The average handout at a Rabbi Gladstein shir would have at least 3 or 4 sides full of Mar Makomos, which he himself personally puts together, cutting and pasting. He has shiurim that have as much as 8 pages of Mar Makomos. And he's just a wonderful lecturer and very, very popular. So for me, it was a treat because I have a limited time. I don't know if you know my schedule, but Chumash is not primary on my list. I just don't have the time. Mm-hmm. I am teaching 4 shiurim daily in Gemara. Mm-hmm. On different and no repeats.
Right.
So when I have a limited amount of time to do Chumash, and I've taught Chumash over the past 40 years, but again, you know, that was more of a classic kind of Chumash. Now I'm in a situation where I have limited amount of time. So I asked Rabbi Gladstein if he can point me in the direction of something that he discovered. Uh-huh. And he was very kind and compassionate, and he shared with me Shvilei Pinchas. He told me, go meet the man. He's very accessible. He has hours and he'd like to see you. He is the Chavrusa of the Belza Rebbe. I married a girl from Belz, not from the city of Belz, but from Belz and Hasidim. Both my in-laws, Tzolzayin Gezunt, they both live, Baruch Hashem, married and living on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. They are Belz and Hasidim, both. My mother-in-law didn't know my father-in-law until New York City. They were both in Siberia during the war, but they didn't know each other. They both came from different towns in Poland, which were full of Belz and Hasidim. So, in a sense, I have become
an affinity
over the course of 40 years. I'm married now. Can I know her 41 years? And I've been exposed to Belz a lot. And I've been to see the Rebbe a number of times. I used to go with my uncle, who'd come from America, to ask about where to buy real estate in Flatbush in Brooklyn. He would come to see the Belzer Rebbe in Yerushalayim. And the Belzer Rebbe knew exactly what he was talking about. I was there at the time, telling him whether he should invest or not invest. And the Belzer Rebbe hosted the bris of my child. So we have an ongoing relationship to Belz. The Belz of Rebbetzin calls up my wife annually to wish her a good yontif or a Shana Tova. So Belz is not foreign to me. The only thing that's foreign in terms of my relationship to Belz is that I still haven't learned how to eat gefilte fish with my hands. So I was called in with my father-in-law to the Belz of Rebbe's tish. We were just about 15, 20 people. It was a very exclusive get-together. And when the Rebbe gave out Shirayim and everybody got a piece of fish and nobody hesitated eating the fish from the Rebbe except for me. So the Rebbe immediately called over his Holzbach. He says, bring him a guppel, bring him a fork. He saw that I wasn't eating the fish. So now I'm studying the Torah of the Belzer Rebbe's Chavrusa, who's the Rosh Kolel in Belz. Belz has a very large Kolel. And Pinchas Friedman, I got it right this time, sorry, is the head of that kollel in Belz. And when Rabbi Gladstein gave me this recommendation that I should take a look at his Torah, again, this one that we did tonight is particularly Kabbalistic, very Kabbalistic.
Yes, that makes sense. Yes.
But again, if you've been at my other shiurim, and if you haven't, please go online on YU Torah, and you'll see that I build over the last, I would say about 5-6 months, I build almost all my Chumashirim on him, on the Shvilei Pinchas. I work very hard to understand the Pinchas, the Shvilei Pinchas. I don't always have the time for it, unfortunately. And to be honest with you, 99% of it is Pshat. I mean, again, Pshat based on the Midrashi Chazal. This one, Again, because I never
this
know.
One's unusual.
This one's unusual. I don't want you to walk out of here thinking that all I darshan about the Shmuel Pinchas is all
tonight.
Is all Kabbalistic.
Can you tell me something
you
know about this Shimshon Astropoli?